People have been asking about some delays. There's a lot of people that listen to scanners, and there were some folks that heard that there was delays getting to some medical calls during our fire in Lemon Creek this last week. And people were asking, you know, about the delays on medical calls, and wanted to get the information out there that, you know, stacking of medical calls is a common practice across the nation due to resources that are available and the high demand on the EMS system.
Well, and then what is stacking?
Stacking is where you have more calls for emergency medical services than you have ambulances and personnel to respond to. For a typical day, we typically have two ambulances staffed 24/7, and then in the summertime during the cruise season, the cruise industry funds a third ambulance to help with the transports from the cruise industry to the hospital and the airport to take the burden off the community, because that's about 400 runs a year during those few months.
Now, as an example, the two ambulance crews that normally work year-round, one would be downtown, the other one would be at the airport, right?
Correct.
So if somebody gets called away for a heart attack or something, then basically the only response you might have would be another ambulance in a completely different district.
Exactly. And we do have ambulances in some of the volunteer stations, but you have to remember that most of the time volunteers have to respond from either home or work to go get the ambulance and then take it to the scene. So there's a built-in delay right there. All of our engines in the career stations, the downtown and the one at the airport, those engines have advanced life support capabilities, and they can do almost everything that the ambulance can do but transport. And the fire engines in the volunteer stations, they have basic life support stuff. So if you were in a car accident, they can do all the stabilization and splinting, oxygen and those types of things. But it takes one of the career fire engines to start pushing medications and doing 12 lead EKGs and things of that nature.
Now, career firefighters, they are also qualified EMTs, aren't they?
Yeah, we have both EMTs and paramedics on the career side.
As an example, on Friday night, how many calls were in progress, do you recall?
I believe my list said there was about five that we had going that evening during the fire event.
Any way to prioritize those calls?
Yeah, that's why we have professional dispatchers that dispatch for both police and fire. They take detailed information. They have guide cards that they go by, and they prioritize whether it's a life-threatening call or not. So they do that initial one, and then they give it to whoever the battalion chief for the day is, and they make some further determinations on what resources are going where. So we've had people call us during structure fires that had shampoo in their eye. You know, it's really hard to pull people off of a life safety event or off of a structure fire where we're already, you know, a little bit short-staffed and send them to, you know, somebody with shampoo in the eye. We've had calls for spider bites or people that just wanted a ride to the hospital because they didn't have money for a taxi or taking the city bus. So,
how often does that happen?
It's pretty regular.
Really?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of misuse or abuse of the 911 system.
But you can't direct firefighters that once they're dispatched on those calls, you can't tell them, oh, well, you can't deal with that particular patient and go to another call midway, right?
No, actually, that happens from time to time. We've had, like, a flight coming in from out of town and a patient's under the care of a nurse at the airport. And as the ambulance is responding to the airport to pick them up to take them to the hospital, a seizure call comes out, you know, in the close vicinity. And so, you know, a seizure call is going to take priority over, you know, somebody who's already under medical care or, you know, somebody with a minor injury versus somebody with something that's life-threatening. Life-threatening stuff is going to get a higher priority, and people may be diverted. But typically, you know, if there's a delay to somebody, it's usually just a few minutes because we split up engines and ambulances and volunteers come in and backfill and career staff come in off-duty and staff additional ambulances as needed.
And do you recall what the response time for the Lemon Creek fire on Friday afternoon, Friday evening?
I believe the first engine was on scene within 5 minutes of the dispatch.
And what is the kind of the time frame that you're striving for?
4 to 6 minutes response time is kind of the national standard we try and meet.
If those firefighters were on another call, they wouldn't have been able to respond to that?
Yeah, sometimes there is delays if they're wrapping up another call. If you listen to the radio traffic, a lot of times you'll hear that, you know, we'll be responding in 2 minutes or we'll respond in 1 minute. And you know, we don't have additional engine companies that are just kind of staged and waiting for the next call. So we run about 3,700 calls a year. We have two fire engines that are staffed 24/7 and two ambulances staffed 24/7, and the rest is supplemented with the volunteer station.
But you would like at least another ambulance, another engine, perhaps at Lemon Creek, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a Lemon Creek area is kind of the middle point in between the Juneau and Glacier Station, and those stations are about 9 miles apart. So just driving to the scene takes quite a bit of time. So, you know, under like a cardiac arrest, you know, your brain starts, you know, dying with 4 to 6 minutes without oxygen, and fires double every minute as kind of a rule of thumb. So the shorter we can get that response time, the better. That's why we've been trying to pursue funds to try and put a station out in that area just so we can serve that part of the community better.